Rolling.
Hello.
Ready for the countdown?
Yes.
There's no countdown.
Why?
We're synced.
Oh.
We are in the same location.
Right.
Synced.
Okay.
So
just start?
Yeah.
Okay.
Welcome to episode 255 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Vancouver, Canada, and with me as always is...
Adam, also Vancouver.
Directly...
Across.
Across. I was going to say adjacent, but that would be over there.
Yeah, nowhere across.
Yeah.
Like we're seated for a chess match.
Yes. Checkers, though.
Okay.
More likely checkers.
I'm going to be the Russian.
Okay. I'm going to take my time.
Okay.
What's going on, Adam?
What's going on with you? You're in Vancouver.
Yeah.
That's the spoiler.
That's the spoiler alert. Although when you're hearing this, I'm probably not. Again?
Right. Yeah.
Maybe.
You were for a window.
There was a window here. While we're recording, this is where it gets all very confusing with the dates.
Pre-recording.
And the continents and whatnot.
But you were in Vancouver.
I am now.
Yeah. Then.
Sure. All right. Enough of the time shift. Yeah. So I'm in Vancouver. Yeah. I had to come in for a job, which sounds a lot more glamorous than it is.
Yeah.
It's just work. But, got to come in here, do some work, see the city, of course.
Yeah.
And ended up having some nice weather. I was told it was going to be horrible.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Sunny.
Yeah. Last few days have been great. Perfect for a rain challenge.
Well, that's when I issued that challenge. I mean, obviously, I knew I was coming here, and I was told it was just stormy times.
Yeah.
And so I figured, okay, well, I'll just lob a softball into our wheelhouse, and it didn't work out that way.
No, it didn't.
No, but we'll get by anyways.
Anything interesting, though?
About me?
Just, like, usually this is where you say you just shoot anything interesting.
This is where we talk about Amazon.
Yeah, well, I was kind of leading into that. Did you shoot anything interesting about Amazon?
Yeah. Piranhas.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
And no, I haven't bought anything. I'm told that the package I ordered last week has arrived.
Great.
In Germany. I'm not here. It's in Germany, and I'm here. So that's not good news?
Right.
That's not bad news. It's just boring.
I saw my wife had bought something for our children on Amazon in the past week.
Okay.
Something like little blocks that are like turtles, and they snap together and you can make objects. But each little snappable block is actually shaped like a turtle. I don't know. I've never seen this, but some kind of cool, creative, learning type toy that I think kids will really like. So it's called Turtle something or other, but it was via Amazon.
All right.
Yeah, so there. So that was our recent purchase. Yeah.
So, yeah. Click through our site is what we're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Buy the crazy turtle creation thing.
Well, there's got to be, I mean, I actually sent a message to some American friends yesterday.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, you know, happy Thanksgiving, guys. And they mocked me because I was a week early.
Mm.
So what the point is next week
is the
Black Friday.
And then the Cyber Monday.
It's Cyber Monday. I'm guessing, without knowing, that all blends together. That I'm sure the deals you get on the Monday, I'll bet you can get on the Black Friday online.
Yeah, the Black Friday is more of an in-store thing.
Okay.
The Cyber Monday is an online thing.
Right, I understand the cyber part.
The deals are very similar, but you won't get the Black Friday. The Black Friday is about showing up 2 hours before the store opens and running around trying to pick off the door crashers that exist in various places in the store.
No, that is not what it's about. It's about the day after on Saturday watching a bunch of idiots on YouTube beat the crap out of each other.
There's that too.
That's what Black Friday's about for me.
There's that.
I love. What's the name for Saturday? Awesome Saturday?
Yeah.
Because YouTube Saturday?
Yeah.
Because that is the greatest.
Yeah.
I'm glad Black Friday exists solely for my Saturday entertainment.
But Monday is when those people are laid up in the hospital. They can still shop via their iPads or whatever.
But when you're handed the $15,000 hospital bill,
right?
I guess you got to be happy you saved $8 on a waffle iron.
Well, yeah, yeah.
That is some decent money.
Yeah.
Who?
In Canada, the government picks up the tab on your hospital stay, so you're still up $8. Taxpayers are down, but you're up $8.
Yeah. I suppose. I don't want to be a party pooper, but I would rather spend the extra $80 on an LCD screen and just stay home.
Okay.
Yeah. That's me.
That will wait for Cyber Monday, then. I bet you, I don't know if this to be a fact, but I bet you Amazon will have some special Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals that are all virtual online now. Now it is all about keeping in Canada anyways, and I'm sure this exists elsewhere, keeping our money in Canada, and especially because our dollar is horrible.
Right.
It has become, the Black Friday, which was never a Canadian thing, has become a Canadian thing over the last few years and in basically gaining steam with each passing year. This year, I anticipate it's going to be massive in Canada. I don't think people are going cross-border shopping as much because our dollar is so terrible.
It is terrible.
Yeah. So any savings you gain, you pretty much lose with the exchange rate.
Helpful tips.
Yeah. So right buy there. Everything online on Amazon and then click through our site. We're going to have a Black Friday deals on our site, which is to say t-shirts will be going for regular prices. But that's our, we'll put that at a Black Friday. We're going to call that our Black Friday deal. One for the price of one and shipping normal rates.
That's hard to pass on.
Yeah, it's hard to pass on that one.
Yes.
Get them for Christmas, though.
Okay, so what else is going on besides travel? France, obviously.
I'm
not talking about it, but...
Don't. That's not
talking. We don't live in a bubble, Adam.
We do live in a bubble.
We don't
live in a bubble. Do you have a picture of France? Because that would be appropriate.
What do you mean?
Like, you've been to France, and you have some in your photo library of pictures of France?
Yeah.
All right, talk about one of those. Got the Eiffel Tower?
I'm not going to offer any opinions or commentary on the situation.
Okay.
I just want to let people know that we do not live in a bubble, that it exists.
Right.
And it was not that fun. That's all.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, wow. You got really tight, evidently. What I've been pretty much working all week.
Yes.
Which means zero photos.
Okay. I actually took a lot of photos since our last podcast.
At least one of us did.
I did a family photo shoot job the day after we recorded. I also went to the park a couple of times in some of the nice weather, take photos of the kids.
I saw those on the Facebook.
Yeah, I did some photos of my kid hockey photos because he was going to photo day and had his equipment on in the house before we left. So did some quick hockey photos. So yeah, I took lots of photos. So we'll get to the family photo shoot in the photo challenge. But I wanted to say thank you for that old template, the old Wayne Gretzky card template that I used for a hockey photo, which I did post on our Facebook site.
Mm-hmm.
And super simple because a couple years ago I'd already kind of customized it with my kid's name and his hockey association and whatnot. So I really just had to drag and drop a picture and a new background layer, and in all of 5 minutes I had a brand new hockey card, which people seem to like. So yeah, that's pretty much what's new.
I'm just bringing up your pictures that you took at the park.
Pictures in the park. Yeah, this is now, we talked about this maybe 2 weeks ago about the fact that, you know, it's getting dark earlier and therefore magic hour is showing up at a very reasonable hour around 4 o'clock now, or 3:30, or getting great light at the park. So that's what we did, show up at the park at about 3:30, and then I snapped some photos, and that's all there is to that.
That's not all there is to that. This one in particular, I was the one that stood out. They're all very good,
yeah,
but this one really stood out because of what's going on with the light.
Yeah.
What is going on with the light here?
There is, light is very low in the sky, and she's just right on the brink of where she's sitting. So this is one where my daughter is sitting in one of those like little spinny chair things at the park, and her face is in where the light is coming through, and the rest of her kind of shoulders down is out of the light, and so it's a full shot of her body, but yeah, you really get the spotlight effect of the mm-hmm. light on her. And I mean, I liked this photo in color, but for whatever reason, I liked it better in black and white. Sometimes, I don't know, something just in my mind appears as black and white, and so yeah, this one, I really think it makes her face stand out in black and white, and the colors, which are fine, didn't really make the picture better. I didn't.
Well, the next one is a similar photo in color.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't like it.
And again, her face isn't really in the spotlight in that one either. So yeah. It's probably a better photo that second one in black and white as well. I just kind of wanted to show you know, some of each is kind of what I had in mind. But this is all the Canon 5D Classic, mm-hmm. and I can't remember, probably an 85mm lens for that, because I usually keep that on that camera. And just, again, can't say enough good things about that camera. I love the sharpness and the contrast and the color straight out of the 6D. The 6D is a remarkable camera, but the more I use the 5D, the more I think, you know, in terms of what I like in the image, I like the 5D better. I mean, as far as just the pure image that comes out. Now, it's not as versatile. Certainly can't shoot in low light anywhere close to what the 6D will do. But if I'm got a lot of light and I have my choice between the two, probably take the 5D, because mm-hmm. it's remarkable, the image.
But it's only 12 megapixels.
It is only 12 megapixels. which I'm good with.
See, I submit that by limiting your low light abilities, and sort of, it sounds funny to say it's functionally limited because you're comparing it to old film cameras or something, but the 5D, having the 5D Classic makes you go to better photo situations.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't get away with it in low light. You can't
yeah,
do it.
Yeah.
Therefore, you seek out better situations and thus get better photos.
Mm-hmm.
It's all part of my whole philosophy in life of just basically crippling yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
So that, you know, you get more enjoyment. But see, what strikes me about this is the light. Now, what is causing the shadow, do you know? Across her? Like, is it something?
I think it's where the trees are. There's trees, right. And it just happens to be where the light is coming through the trees versus where it's creating a shadow, because there are lots of things on the other side of where she is.
Now, is this something like a location that you recognize and said, oh, I got to snap her photo here?
She was sitting there, and I immediately said, that's a shot right there.
Right.
Because of what the light was doing, yeah. So I didn't position her there. She was just over there playing, and I said, I looked over, and I was like, oh, that's good light.
See, it's nice to recognize that. And this is a great time of year to get these instances of this sort of the light and the dark and all that, and the spotlight effect. They show up everywhere if you pay attention. And so I'll be at the playground with my kids, and I'll look around on the playground and see the locations that it's happening, and then do a reverse psychology with my kids, like, well, I'll bet you couldn't play on that thing. You know, yes, I can, Dad. And off they go. And that's how I snap the photos.
Yeah, and I think that's a great idea. Again, if you can get them there. Yeah, my kids, they don't play along to that so well anymore, so I pretty much have to just let them go to where they're going to go and then look and see if there's something there. And sometimes there is. Like, this was a good situation. And she was spinning around on this. And again, when she spins through the shadow, the picture's not as good. So I just kept waiting as she was spinning around for her to hit that spot. So that was one of the things you kind of work within, you know, what the play the hand that's dealt. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's that, then you have to be ready for it when it happens. Now, your daughter is
eight.
Eight. Yeah. And a budding photographer.
Yeah.
I mean, she's getting a Polaroid for Christmas.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert if you're listening.
Yeah, she's listening, yeah.
Probably not listening.
She's pretty much a regular with her iPod, yeah.
Well, she hasn't. She subscribes, but doesn't always have time to listen.
That's true, yeah.
She's a few weeks behind. but do you point out these situations to her, like, hey, isn't that beautiful light?
I do all the time, and she even recognizes it too. She even will say, oh, will a photo look good over there? Or when it's her turn, because now she's been using the 5D more, when I go out, I often let her take a turn. And so you know, I say, well, where should I stand? And so, again, I try to let her kind of decide, will it look good over here or will it look good over here? So she definitely looks for, I think the first thing is the brightest light. So she wants to put you in the brightest light. Mm-hmm. So, and again, I think that's a good starting point anyway. Sometimes it's, again, like you've talked about in the past, shoot with your back to the sun. Mm-hmm. So she's kind of got that principle down for sure.
I do the same with my four-year-old daughter, not so much for photography, but just in general, be like, oh, wow, look at the light here, or look at the sky. Like, look like when the sunrise, sunset,
yeah.
And the sky lights up on particularly nice nights, we'll go and look, and I'll make her point out all the colors, and they're generally purple, and purple, but then there's some orange in there she'll throw.
Yeah.
But just so she's always kind of aware of this. I'm not priming her to be a photographer, you know, but when I force her to at 5,
yeah,
she'll be ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, and so hopefully, you know, Sarah will be ahead of this. It's, you know, all her kids, all her friends will be taking the little point and shoot selfies with their, you know, their cameras or their phones or whatever.
Yeah.
And she'll be one step ahead, knowing that even if it's just with her iPhone, she'll know where to put people.
Yeah,
for
absolutely.
Good life. Great. So you did shoot some interesting stuff.
I did, yeah.
We'll talk about the rest of it later, the hockey cards, because I want to hear about that next week. My stuff was all video.
Okay.
So that was really interesting stuff, which I'm getting to the point now where I love shooting video with the DSLRs. Love it. Hate the audio part of it.
Mm.
Not a fan. Like, just can't come up. I mean, especially because I'm a one-man band. And that's the situation. Like, I have to be real run and gun. And it is no fun by yourself. So, if you're going to be run and gun, do yourself a favor and hire an audio guy.
What does that person do? Hold the boom mic? Or how does that work?
Basically, I record audio on this unit, on the H4. And so in the past, it's been like, you know, what do I do? Like, I used to have a radio mic that I would fire right into my old XL1 yeah. digital video camera, and that was fine because it would mount okay and it would work, and it was designed for that. But the DSLRs are horrible for audio, just terrible.
And using one of those, like, I always see those, like, Rode video mics, like shotgun mics that go on top of the camera, that's not good enough?
No, I mean, you want to get the mic in as close as you can.
Yeah.
You know, but ideally, you'll back up, shoot with a long lens, and then physically, you're pretty far back, so you want to get the microphone right in their larynx, essentially,
right.
to get good sound.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I use the H4N, and used to, you know, I'd bring a boom mic, and then how do you deal with that? Who holds what? Like, you always have to have someone there to hold the mic while you're listening to the sound and making sure it's there. And so this time I decided to actually just use the onboard mic. So the recorder, I would basically have, you know, one of the employees there basically would act as a sound person. Whoever was there would just sit and hold it, which was pretty good. Actually, the sound is really great, believe it or not, on the onboard mics. No wires to deal with. The two challenges are you have to sync everything up later.
Mm-hmm.
There are programs for it. I don't use those. So I have to do it basically manually. So I have the actor, quote unquote,
do
the hand clap
every
time that you roll the camera to make sure, and then you can sync it all up later, which it takes me about an hour and a half the next day to sync everything up. The other thing is if somebody bumps the button, all of a sudden you switch the recording input and you're recording nothing. So there was two different little scenes that we shot that I got back and was like, wow, I have no audio for that. Rats. So that's one of the things. But overall, it's just a big jigsaw puzzle. Like, I shoot like a short film, essentially.
Yeah.
But not in order.
Right.
You know, and so I'm the guy who's doing the script supervising and the shooting, the lighting and the directing and the sound all at once, all out of order.
Right.
So it's a big jigsaw puzzle that you have to disassemble and put together, and that's what I've been doing. Hence, no photos.
Great.
Yeah. This week's photo challenge.
Yeah.
Rain.
Yeah.
Which we did have.
Yeah, we had a little bit.
I was inside working during the rain and had the presence of mind to say, I better run out and grab a photo while I can.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to get rain.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't get rain next week, I'm out of luck. So here is where I landed. This is rain in Vancouver.
It looks like rain.
There's no doubt about it.
There's lots of umbrellas. There's people bent over. There's a city background. Where is the focus?
The focus is on the building. I didn't want... There's actually a little bit of method to this nothing here.
Yeah.
I didn't want the focus to be the people. I wanted it to be the city. Ideally, probably could have been a little more out of focus.
Yeah.
But I also wanted a little bit of motion blur. Because there are people walking across. I kind of wanted the feeling that they're walking. So the shutter speed is low. Maybe not low enough. I could have gone a couple of stops slower.
Mm-hmm.
Just to really accentuate that. But all in all, when I went and envisioned this shot, I basically, you know, I this is what I had in mind. It'd be black and white. People in the crosswalk with umbrellas. There you go.
Okay. It's fine. I mean, I agree with you in the... fact that I like it in black and white. I'm not sure I would like it in color because it's going to be very muted, and the buildings definitely stand out and all look sharp, and I don't see any need for color here. I think that the slower shutter speed would probably be better because it kind of is in that no man's land of not slow enough and not sharp. It's like you haven't gone either way. Mm-hmm. It just looks a slight, like focus was missed. Like, when I first look at it, I think the people should be what's in focus,
mm-hmm.
and then they're not, because there's a little bit of motion blur, but just not enough that you could kind of think, oh, this is really about movement, and so either a slower shutter speed or a much faster shutter speed. But I think the composition, this is obviously a wide angle here, right? This is a very
yep.
wide angle.
It's so. My 17 to 40,
yeah,
which is the only photography lens I brought with me.
Yeah,
the other lenses I brought are my manual cinema lenses.
And this is shot at the closer to the 17 end.
Yes.
Yeah, I like the perspective for sure. I really like the cityscape. I think that's the only critique I have would be if it was a slower. If you could really hammer home the blur and maybe the car lights move a little bit more. And I think there's definitely lots of good elements here. And I like I say, I really like the perspective and the black and white. So. That's my only critique. I like the picture.
There's some photos that you take, and you'll notice this too. Like, you'll look back and you'll notice that there's certain photos that you take at the time, and they're fine, but they age like a fine wine. So like in 5 years, you look at that and really appreciate it and go, wow, like that's a much better photo than I thought. This is not one of those photos.
I like the lead up though.
Yeah. No, that's all true, though.
I think there's lots of good elements there, though.
Yes.
I think that could be a really good photo.
It's something that, yes, it could be. I mean, there's the my favorite part, I mean, in the building in the background is the Marine Building.
Yeah.
One of my favorite buildings in Vancouver. The issue here was that it actually was hammering down rain.
Yeah.
I didn't have an umbrella. I did have a jacket, but I was basically inside working. I knew if I ran out in the rain, and I basically had like an 8 or 10 hour day ahead of me, soaking wet would not be fun.
Yeah.
So I ran out quickly, got to a reasonable spot, saw some people coming, snapped a photo on the settings that I had basically had preset. Because before I ran outside, I had a general idea what the exposure would be, ran outside, snapped the photo, ran back in, one and done. Had I had an umbrella over me, I think I would have stopped and basically stopped down to something like an F11, which would have then required a slower shutter speed, which would have caused the motion blur and put everything in focus
mm-hmm.
front to back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would do next time. But this is a kind of picture that really represents Vancouver in the
sure.
winter to me.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Now here's yours. Now you went with people.
I was doing a family photo shoot. And I brought both cameras. I brought my 6D and I brought my 5D as a backup. And it was not raining. We showed up, you know, in the morning. It was not raining. We thought, perfect. You know, we're gonna get a family photo shoot. And we started shooting, and I actually had some lights because there was this area That's probably, I don't know, 75 feet from where this photo was taken, where there's a couple of big trees and leaves everywhere. And the tree still had a bunch of orange and red leaves on it. So they kind of wanted something that was fallish, and fall's kind of passed.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there was this real nice spot of fall right close to here. So I had lights and everything and tried to make it look like fall, even though it was a very overcast, not so great day. And I think I accomplished that quite nicely. And then, you know, we took those photos and then we moved on to the playground. The thought was, you know, these people have a 1.5-year-old, and I knew he wasn't going to stay engaged in a pose-it-all photo shoot for very long. So we decided, let's do this at the park, because right after that, we'll just get some candid shots of them playing at the park. And so then all of a sudden, like, I've got lights set up and everything, and then it just starts to rain. And, like, pretty immediately, it just came on very quickly. And so I basically had to, you know, switch modes and just take everything down, like take the lights and the umbrellas and stuff down, and basically switch to from the 6D, switch to the 5D, because I don't mind if that camera gets a bit wet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to the 6D and started shooting some candid stuff. And at this particular photo, it was actually raining pretty good. And I mean, it doesn't really show up on an 800 megapixel file that we're looking at or what's going to get posted online, but it's actually raining quite good. And on the full res file, you can actually see all the raindrops actually in front of the guy's face, in the background, across both of their faces. You have to zoom in. I zoomed in on the small file, and it gets kind of lost with the lack of resolution.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see some of the wet on the actual bench that the little boy's walking on. And I just thought, again, this was taken right after the photo challenge. I didn't set out to take a rain photo, but it suddenly was raining. And I thought, hey, I'll snap this 5D classic photo as kind of a backup. And like, cause hey, and there's people here that aren't my family, which show up in 90% of my photos. And so I'll give something that's a little different for a photo challenge, but again, not shot with rain in mind, just it started to rain. And therefore I took this photo, which I really like the photo. It's just not exactly, it doesn't hammer the rain point home. I think
it does subtly though, because I mean, I guess they were dressed like this for the sun, but for the just the cool weather.
Yeah.
But there is a sort of element of this is the West Coast lifestyle.
Yeah.
I mean, for those of you who actually people don't know that, you know, in Vancouver, it gets a reputation for raining all the time.
Mm-hmm.
For like a lot, but it only actually rains once a year, from November till May.
Yeah.
which is why everything's so green though. So it's but anyways, this is pretty typical.
Yep.
From November till April. I mean, this is what the weather can be like. And so people don't generally want to go out and shoot in this because they think, oh, it's awful. But this is what you live with.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's actually a very nice photo because it's atypical.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing is, and again, this is just to hammer the 6D versus the 5D Classic point home. I did a lot of lighting with the 6D, and I had a 50mm lens on the 6D to take some wider shots. Like I say, wanted some specific fall stuff, and really liked those photos. Again, group shots. Switched as soon as it started to rain, we did more playground shots and switched to the 85mm on the 6D. Now partly it's the 85mm, and partly it's the 6D, but I swear I probably took 30 photos with the 5D and 85mm. And again, most of them are of the kid playing a little closer up. And there might have been two that I didn't deliver to the people. There are that many good photos, one after another after another. And again, that speaks a lot to A, the kid's really cute and has big blue eyes. And the other thing it speaks to is the fact that that combo is just unbelievable.
Yes.
Especially even in the rain. I mean, it you don't have to worry about it. And Craigslist for under $500. I mean, I can't say this enough. If anyone wants to try full frame, buy one of these now. Don't hesitate. Find one on Craigslist and just buy it.
Forget full frame. If anybody wants to take good pictures.
Yeah.
Like this is what I mean, I know for a long time I sounded like sort of I don't know.
Snob?
Not a snob. I mean, maybe, probably.
Arrogant?
Yeah.
Cocky?
Yep, all those things. I was thinking more of like a, what do you call those people who don't like technology?
I'm hipsters?
I don't know. No, not hipsters. Come on. Come on. No, but there's certain, like, tech, like, I don't know, not like Ted Kaczynski or anything like that.
Okay,
but right. There's
like a weird turn.
Yeah. Well, but there's certain things that, there's certain technology that I look at and think, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Why? Like, I live kind of an odd lifestyle for some people. I don't own a microwave oven.
Okay.
Have not owned a microwave in 15 years.
Okay.
Just because. I just look at it and go, why? What? Who cares? I don't need
it. Toaster strudels?
Yeah. Put them in the toaster. Okay. It's right there in the name. I have a toaster. You know, I have
That's probably a bad example.
But again, I also, no cell phone. I just look at it and go, why? Come on. And so, yet I have an iPad and laptop. I like those things.
Yeah.
I do like technology. So I do like digital photography. I'm not a film snob by any means. I love film, but I think digital is awesome. Without digital, we're not having this conversation.
Right.
But when it comes to digital, I love the 5D because it is not very advanced.
Yeah, it's very, very simple.
Yeah.
And I did have a Ziploc bag in my pocket,
mm-hmm.
which, as it started to rain, I did consider putting over, like I punched a hole in it, put my camera inside it. And then I thought, you know, it was a little bit awkward. And if I was still shooting with my 6D, if that was the only camera I brought, I would have continued this way.
Yeah.
But then I thought, no, what am I doing? I'm perfectly fine with getting this camera a bit wet, you know, and again, just took it out, kept shooting. When I got home, dried it off, the end. I'm not saying that for everybody, that's how they're going to treat it, but this is a weather sealed professional camera. That's the other part of it. This isn't the Canon T2i.
Right.
This thing can take some light rain and it will still be fine. And like I say, got home, dried it off, no problem. And I'm willing to do that with that camera because, like I say, this is a camera you can pick up for $400, beat the hell out of for a few years, and then if it goes south on you, pick up another one on Craigslist. Like it is, and that's kind of how I use it. And thus, it allows me to get photos, good ones of my kids, sometimes good ones on a photo shoot that I otherwise wouldn't got. We could have easily just said, oh, it's raining. They said, oh, you know, should we just stop and put away your gear's expensive. And I said, yeah, I put away the expensive stuff already.
Yeah.
Now I'm okay. I'm okay to shoot like this with the 5D.
And your clients, when they see the pictures, they look, wow, those are great. They don't think, is that only 12 megapixels?
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
I would, again, put every photo taken 6D versus 5D Classic up against each other. And I bet you, if you're just looking at the photos, you would say the best photos were taken with the 5D. Just because of the moment, which gets lost when you're worried about your gear, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And we're talking on the wall. Let's say you blow one from the 5D Mark II or Mark III, whatever, you know, versus the 5D Classic. Put it on the wall at 12 by 18 inches.
Yeah.
Call it. You're not going to pick them
up. There's no way.
No.
There's no way. Even with a magnifying glass, I don't think you can see a difference. Yeah.
Not going to happen. So this is why when they get up to the whatever they're at now, the 100 megapixels and stuff, that's where the technology, anti-technology comes in with me. I'm like, let's move on.
Yeah.
Pick something else.
Yeah. I mean, if your job is to basically take pictures for the side of a skyscraper,
yes.
Then you might need that whatever 7,500 megapixel camera, but I don't do that. So.
Yeah, get off the merry-go-round is what we're saying.
Yeah,
buy the 5D Classic.
Yeah,
enjoy the menu.
Yeah, yeah.
that's terrible.
And the LCD, which every single picture looks like it's the worst thing you've ever taken.
Yeah. Yeah. Is this green?
Yeah, everything's green. Yeah.
Yes, you do deal with those things, but the end result is what's important. With that, this week's topic is shooting in the rain.
Okay.
How to do it, why you do it. First of all, why? Why would you want to shoot in the rain?
Good question. Because you're out there with clients and it starts to, and you don't want to come back another time.
Okay, but let's go a different direction. Let's figure out, like, you
see.
Does
it look cool?
Yeah, it does look cool.
It can look cool, yeah.
Well, let's see that. Like, you don't have a shoot planned, but all of a sudden you look out and it's pouring rain. You think, I'm going to get out there.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. Why would you do that? Besides the aforementioned, it looks cool, but what?
I'm not sure.
Well, it's for me, it looks like an inopportune time because it's a hassle.
Yeah.
Because you got to go out there in the rain. No one likes that part, but you're going to get a lot of photos that are not in your normal wheelhouse.
Okay.
Like you look at people's pictures on Facebook, Go to all your 8 friends that you have on Facebook.
Right, I don't have that many.
Right, one day.
Okay.
Look, scroll through their pictures. How many are in the rain?
I'm going to wager a guess of low number.
1%?
1%.
You know, I mean, selfies in the rain, who does it?
Yeah, people don't do it.
But you're missing opportunities to get some really, really interesting photos.
Okay.
The light can be awesome. As I mean, look at this. Look at the light here. I mean, this isn't the most awesome light, but it's easy.
Mm-hmm. It's very easy, yeah.
You got the night. Usually you have a nice overcast, soft light everywhere. Light sort of diffused because of the rain, the mist, all that stuff is going to break all the light up. And you don't have to light anything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great for that.
It's a giant softbox.
It is a giant softbox.
Yeah.
And it can be very dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a break in the clouds, now all of a sudden you got some sun coming in mixed with some dark clouds, and you got zones of light.
Yeah. Like, I really like when you see the really stormy sky. Like, I was almost like disappointed that we're getting the rain, and at one point I was thinking, oh, it'd be nice if you got some real dark clouds. Like, then that just makes a dramatic effect that looks good in color and black and white, but sometimes you just get kind of the haze. Like, I was just getting the haze, which makes, like you say, for easy shooting, but less dramatic.
Right. I do like when you get the dark clouds mixed with like shafts of sunlight coming in.
Oh, yeah, that's great, yeah.
Because that tends to be really nice and yellow, and the clouds are like this dark purple, deep purple, really.
Yeah,
you get the smoke on the water, it's nice.
Yeah.
Highway Star, should we go through the list?
Yeah, keep going.
So, the one challenge there is that it can change so fast that if you don't set up in time, it's moved on.
Right.
But those are the moments I really like.
Yeah, I agree. And unfortunately, it's one of those situations when you're dealing with your wife and kids where you look up at it and then say, hey, this let's go do this, and nobody else is into it.
No, and then your son is like, let's go set fire to a cat. Like, wait. That's not what I had in mind.
My son just chases squirrels. So.
Okay. They're too fast, man. You'll never set fire to squirrels. I also like it in the city because you have the country angle of the rain.
Yeah.
But in the city is a lot of fun, too, because like even having the headlights on in the daytime.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess cars now, the headlights are always on.
Yeah.
But in the sun, you don't know.
Yeah.
But when the headlights are on in the daytime, you get this kind of weird, eerie mix that I happen to really like.
Yeah.
So that's why that's why you shoot in the rain.
Okay.
How do we do it? What are the steps that we got to think about? What's the first thing we got to think about when we head out into the rain?
Your equipment. That's the first thing I think about. What camera am I going to bring? And I think we know the answer.
Yeah, we already went through that.
Hit that.
It's the answer is how do you protect limit your exposure, I suppose.
Yeah.
For me, when I snapped my challenge photo this week, I had my Mark II.
Yeah.
And basically, I had nothing to cover it. So I ran out with it in my jacket.
Yeah.
Ran out, snapped the one photo, put it back, ran in.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, besides the fact that I really didn't want it to get damaged, even though it probably would be fine, if it is damaged, I now have an 8-hour shooting day ahead of me with no camera.
Yeah.
So the risk was just way too big.
Yeah, absolutely. My move, and I alluded to this before, and I've done this on photo shoots where I'm shooting with the 6D, and I guess it was heavy rain, then I'd probably do it with the 5D Classic as well. Is large size Ziploc bag,
mm-hmm.
and basically just punch a hole for the lens and lens hood to come through the other side, and that's just a plastic cover on it anyways. But that way the Ziploc covers the main part of the camera, and the opening on the Ziploc bag is obviously large enough for your hands, and that works kind of just as a umbrella. They even sell, I've seen rain covers sold. Sized for your cameras from the camera store for $20, which are essentially just sort of fitted Ziploc bags. So I'm good with just using a Ziploc bag for the cost of a quarter or 50 cents. It works, and then it's disposable if you decide that that you don't want to use it more than 14 times.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I do have a professional rain cover for my bigger camera, my older camera that has now been repurposed.
Yeah,
to shoot with. It's not perfect, but it works out quite well. But I do recommend the Ziploc bag feature.
I have a hot move for flashes because this is one that I discovered just this weekend when I set up my flashes, and it just started to just kind of mist a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I was shooting with umbrellas, and I have my flashes mounted on the Pocket Wizards on the stand. I don't want any of this to really get wet. Well, basically just rotated the umbrellas when it started to mist. So now I turned them all off, but I was hoping the rain would break and I'd still be able to use them. So just flipped them upright until the umbrella is literally covering the
flash. Umbrella.
Yeah, it's now acting purely as an umbrella, which you would think is intuitive, but my first thought was, oh, hey, panic, take everything down as quickly as possible. And then I thought, no, I'm going to just bring it over closer to a tree where it's going to get shelter. And now I'm just going to tip it upside down, and I don't care if those umbrellas get wet because they're umbrellas.
Right.
And it worked perfect, and then I was able to get a break and bring the and have them still set up and use them again. And then when it started to rain harder, I said, all right, that's enough. I'm putting it all away.
The flash in the Ziploc bag is a great move, too.
Yeah.
Because sure. with you can generally cover everything.
Yeah.
And if it's clear, it'll shoot right through it.
Yeah.
So you don't even have to cut a hole.
Yeah.
And the good news is you can just leave it set out there for quite some time before any damage sets in. And plus, you know, you've probably bought your, you know, old used Nikon SB28 or whatever it is, which, I don't know, what are those, $50 now? 60, 80?
Something like that.
Not cheap, but worst case,
again,
you can replace them without, you know, worrying too much. In fact, Matt sent a picture to us this week. Or he did that. He put his flash outside.
Yeah.
In what looked like very heavy rain, but put one flash outside, just threw it in a Ziploc bag, and you're off to the races.
Yeah, yeah. And now with everything being radio triggered, it's really easy. Zip it right up. Zip that Ziploc.
Yeah. So definitely protect your equipment when you're heading out. The other thing I like to do is find places where I can shoot where it's covered.
Yeah.
So like you walk down, let's say, Granville Street here in Vancouver. This is my favorite move. The people who have umbrellas, they've thought to bring umbrellas with them, not photo umbrellas, actual umbrellas, and then walk under the cover so that I can't.
Right. Yeah.
Dear those people.
Yeah.
Go walk in the rain.
Yeah.
Get out of the way.
Yeah. Maybe they're thinking, hey, buddy, bring an umbrella.
Yeah.
They're punishing you. They're teaching you a lesson.
They think they are. The lesson is, I hate you.
Yeah.
So next step. Rain is, like you say here, like in this photo, even at high res, rain doesn't show up really well.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. And I think, like you talked about in a previous photo challenge about the water. We've talked about the water in the summer, and you had sort of a hot backlighting move. Like, there's ways to make it show up. But just shot rain without any additional light sources and overcast, it doesn't. It doesn't show up very well.
No, so you have to backlight.
Yeah.
And that's a situation where, throw it in a Ziploc bag, get it in behind your subjects, and really hammer that rain from behind.
Yeah.
I think to the point that, I forget what movie it was, I'm gonna say, like, Singing in the Rain, the musical. I want to say that they didn't, when they made the rain, they didn't use water, they used milk or something like that, just because it showed up better. And there's some story behind that you can just Google later and let me know how it turns out.
Okay.
Next is, I suggest you pay careful attention to your white balance.
Okay.
When you're shooting in the rain.
Okay.
Because the instinct, I mean, your camera, if it's on auto, is likely going to try to warm everything up.
Okay.
Your instinct also probably warm everything up because you want to go with those nice warm facial skin tones, but resist that urge.
Resist it, okay.
Because in real life, I mean, everything seems to have that sort of bluish appearance in the rain.
Okay.
Especially in the wintertime.
Yeah.
So you're out in November, the winter rain, you kind of got that bluish sort of color palette. Stick with it.
Okay.
Embrace it. Dial that in, you know. And so, if you're to set your camera to, say, daylight,
mm-hmm.
at like your regular 5600,
55, 56,
and then go shoot in the rain, you're probably going to get the proper blue haze or whatever you want to call it, the blue coloring.
Yeah.
If you compensate for it and, you know, put it in the cloudy or whatever setting,
6000 plus,
you might not be that happy. But since you're shooting raw, you can always fix it later.
Right.
Anything to look for? What do you look for?
I look for puddles, and I look for something that reflects, so the ground, in the case of my photo, the red bench or pavement, where you're going to see the light kind of bounce off, glisten, I guess.
You like movies, right?
The glistening. Yes, I do.
You like movies.
Yeah.
Go ahead, and when you, I think we might have talked about this before, when you watch the movies,
mm-hmm.
you'll notice at night, streets are always wet.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they film it in Los Angeles or wherever they film it. Didn't rain that day. Still, the streets are always wet. Just because it looks great on film.
Mm-hmm.
It picks up all, like, the streetlights now reflect, and it just adds such a depth to your picture. That, I mean, I've been on sets where they've done that, where it's like...
They hose have to, it down.
Yeah, huh? In between shots. They you know, in the summertime. We're shooting in the summer. Still, going to hose it all down. Everything. The wood walkways that we were on a bridge. Everything. Just hose it down.
Yeah, and it makes sense when you see it. And even when you just think about it, just, you know, a pavement, when it isn't wet, is pretty dead looking.
Yes.
Yeah. But, yeah, when it's wet, it becomes a feature in the photo, or like you say, on film. That reflects light, and it's alive, and it adds a different element altogether.
So I do also look for puddles. I mean, for me, puddles are nice because, you know, it shows the rain. You can see the rain hitting it.
Yeah.
It got a lot of reflections coming in that are broken up by that rain, so yeah. It kind of adds to the story. But looking for reflections in the street, you're onto something.
And for those of you shooting children at home, and this is always a point that you know, it's close to us, with young kids, is my favorite shots of rain are always the kids jumping into puddles. It's just the splash and the action and their facial expressions. And there isn't, I think, anything that's kind of more purely visceral for children fun in the rain than jumping into puddles. So do that. Get them soaking wet if they're game for it.
Yeah.
And then let them change after. It's not a biggie. And rubber boots are good for this. So if you don't have them, get them, because I find I'm drying my kids' running shoes out for 4 days after.
And that smells great.
Yeah, so I would definitely recommend rubber boots. So.
Well, that's another thing, is one of the other points I wanted to make, is look for rain accessories. Like, if you want to tell the rain story, rain might not always be your best solution. Maybe you look for gumboots, which can often, especially nowadays, seem to be great colors with patterns on them, and they're interesting in themselves,
but
they tell the rain story. Look for umbrellas and jackets and hats and stuff to be in the photo, which is why when I ran out to get my photo, I waited specifically until there were a couple of umbrellas crossing in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you, no question, that's rain.
Yeah.
So kind of shooting around the rain tells the rain story.
Right.
I also like to look for windows, by the way. Like,
okay.
Rain hitting the window makes for a great effect. Because it collects, it makes it, you can actually see it. And if you're inside shooting out, you're going to get that backlight. You maybe throw something out of focus. You're going to get some great results shooting out through a rain-soaked window.
Okay.
That's about all I have.
To say about rain.
Yeah.
Go do it.
Go do it. Don't hesitate when it rains.
Yeah.
That's all.
Buy a Canon 5D. If you can still find them on Amazon, buy them on Amazon and click through our site.
Photo challenge for next week.
You have one. I wanted to do Christmas card.
That'll be next week. I can't take pictures of my family because I'm not with them.
Okay.
That's the thing. That's an issue.
All right. I might run into an opportunity this weekend, so I might pre-take mine. I hope that's not against the rule.
So, spoiler...
I might.
Next week's challenge is going to be Christmas card.
Okay, so we have two to work on.
Go ahead and take it.
What's the other one?
One of the things I like, besides shooting in the rain, did we talk about that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The I love the window light at this time of year.
Okay.
Specifically this time of year, because where we are, 49th parallel, the sun is very low in the sky.
Right.
And it presents some different looking window light in the wintertime.
Okay.
So with
window
that.
Window light.
So with that, we're going to do black and white.
Okay.
Winter, we're doing window light. So if you're in Australia, you're just doing window light. You're not doing winter window light. But for us up here, winter window light.
Okay.
Websites.
AdamSchwartz.ca.
All right. And obviously on the Two Hosers Facebook, as we can see.
Yeah, I've been madly posting.
Oh, Zuckerberg got in touch and told me, hey, slow it down a bit.
Yeah, after I posted like 3 days in a row, I decided I'm gonna just take a break.
Yeah, they were like, listen, our servers are overwhelmed with those 8 photos. Just take a breath.
Okay.
And mine at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything that you want to know and we just talked about. Adam, until next week, get out there and make better photos.